We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover. John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Halfway home on a Friday evening on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show live from the Kia Studios. 404-741-0929 Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. You can put a rank 'em list out there because we are going to do that coming up at 10:40 this evening. We are asking you to download the Odyssey.com app. We know you're not in the car as much as what you used to be, but you want to listen to the station and the show. How do I do it? Best way, the Odyssey.com app. Put that on your device today. Smartphone, Alexa speakers, tablet, Laserdisc, Commodore 64, 8-track player, Walkman, whatever it is that your device is, just download it something to be able to catch us on the go. Social media, 929 The Game. Follow us on our personal Twitter pages, the best way to be a part of the show, at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That, of course, your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. On the other side of the glass producing the show, he'll ask the questions for Rankum Jarvis in the building at JarvisD90. This, of course, your nightly look at all things Atlanta Falcons. It is the Falcons flyover. So the Falcons did make it official. 1 year, $3 million. Cordarrelle Patterson will be the new punt and kick returner. Now, with that, though, a corresponding move that was made is so they list him as a running back, and with that, they cut Ito Smith today. Now, I got to be honest with you. I'm a little bit surprised. What's left? They've got is Kadri Allison Jarvis technically the only running back on the roster right now? Brian Hill's not on the roster. He was a free agent. Todd Gurley's obviously not back. Now you cut Ito Smith. They literally only have Kadri Allison. Am I wrong about that? Keith Smith's the fullback. But I'm talking about like an actual running back because Patterson's not an actual running back, but okay, he's going to be listed as a running back on the roster.
Yeah, you have – I mean, of course you have Mike Davis who they brought in.
Oh, yeah, it's true. Yeah. Okay, yep,
you got,
so you're right.
You got Mike Davis, but
– so yeah. Mike Davis and Kadri Allison are your two actual owners because Patterson's a wide receiver, punt, kick returner. But, all right, so you got Mike Davis and you got Kadri Allison, who's not even played hardly at all.
Yeah, man.
Guess what's getting drafted fairly high in this draft?
Shit. Oh, yeah, you know what time it is when it comes to running back.
Yeah. Guess what's getting drafted here very quickly? Because you only got two guys on your roster, and one of them's not even barely played since he's been in the league for you. And one of them, frankly, is a placeholder. So I'm a little bit surprised they didn't at least give Ito a look. I mean, you didn't go through camps or anything with Ito to take a look at him. But anyway, so there you go. That was the corresponding move, which I think was a little bit surprising. Now, no
surprise.
And also,
you have another guy, too, Tony Brooks James.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he just got signed to the active roster.
Yeah. So, again, but those are guys.
But that's not a guy you're going to be looking at to give carries to.
That's not a guy who's competing for an actual 53-man roster spot. But anyway, now the other news out of all this, which we knew was going to happen because every team is doing it now, the Falcons have voted to not do OTAs as well. Now, what's interesting is the Falcons, it was not unanimous. My understanding, Jarvis, and tell me if I'm wrong, that not everybody has opted out of OTAs, that there may be some Falcons. But I there's not going to be any players going, right? They'll be in solidarity with all this. But the vote was supposedly not unanimous or anything. Everybody in the league is doing this now. We called this the other night. Every team in the NFL. Who's left? Like, who's actually doing OTAs at this point? There's I think there's fewer teams left to look at OTAs than there actually is anybody who's not doing them at this point. But Falcons joined the club of the guys who are not going to do OTAs in this offseason. That's fine. Whatever. We talked about this the other night, that this is the new wave of the NFL. That I know that they're using COVID and all that. And by the way, you see all the Denver Broncos players and all that are going for their vaccines and everything like that. They're having like group outings for the personnel and the players and all this kind of stuff to get their vaccine. So what's the excuse then? After,
I mean, once you get your vaccine, my understanding is you should be good, right? If everybody got it.
Hey, again, think that was the real reason why?
Hey, man, look,
I get it. Like I said, I ain't mad at them. This will be part of the next negotiation. Part of the next CBA negotiation will be a new off-season schedule. To me, that this is a response to, you want a 17th game? Okay, here you go. We're going to extend our regular season and put, you know, players more at risk? Okay, here you go. Here's how it's going to work. We'll show up when it comes time for mandatory camp, and we'll go from there. And, you know, we'll let you figure it out from all of that. But again, no surprise there, the Falcons join this list of club out there. But I'm still a little bit surprised Ito Smith got cut, man. I mean, he's at least done some things for your franchise, and he's at least had an ability to start and play some games and stuff like that. I guess they evaluated him on tape and said, nope, we're good, man. Let's go in a different direction. They're going to draft a running back fairly high. I'm starting to wonder that if they require a second-round pick, I have no question that they'll grab a running back in the second round. And they may anyway. That may be their second-round pick, is running back. But if they grab an extra one, then I know for sure they're grabbing a running back. All right, former Atlanta Falcons head coach Jim Mora was on what the hell was this thing that I sent you, Jarvis? Okay, Sports Illustrated podcast, whatever it was, one of these dopey shows that they got going on there. And he was talking a little bit about the Atlanta Falcons. Let's hear a couple of clips from him. Here's Jim talking about the advice that he would give to new head coach Arthur Smith.
Win fast, because as we've seen, you know, Atlanta's quick to make changes when things don't go very well. You know, I felt like Dan Quinn, had he been given a little more time, would have righted that ship. We saw what he did early in his career. You know, Arthur Blank is a really good person, a really good man, but he didn't have a lot of patience.
That was the problem. They needed to give Dan Quinn more time? For what? Dan Quinn got more time than he should have gotten. Now, look, how do I say this? I think Jim's a little bitter about the Falcons.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. You can smell that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's a little bitter about what the Falcons did to him.
Yeah. You can smell it. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's there.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, that whole series of events, right, where he goes on the Hugh Millen show and says that the Huskies is his dream job. And then remember, wasn't that a Saturday night game when they got blown out by the Cowboys on their home field? When they got blown out in the Georgia Dome by the Cowboys? That was like a set, because that's Terrell Owens and the Cowboys that blew them out on, like, I want to say, Jarvis, that was a Saturday night that they played that game. I think it was. It wasn't a Thursday, and it wasn't a Sunday night game. I think that was actually a Saturday night game late in the season. And this is literally the week that he went on Hugh Millen, his buddy's show out in Seattle, and said, oh yeah, the Huskies are my dream job and all that kind of stuff. For a team that wasn't very good to start with. And a coach who was, what, he was riding shotgun with MeAngelo Hall around. Remember all that? Remember when he was riding in the passenger seat with MeAngelo Hall, like in his Ferrari or something like that, that him and MeAngelo were riding around town together in the Ferrari or whatever? Yeah, okay. So Jim's a little bit bitter. But look, number one in the NFL, this is not unique to the Falcons. You got to win now. That's what the league is designed and set up to be, is win now. That's one thing. Second of all, Arthur was more than patient enough with Dan Quinn. Trust me, if I was the owner and GM of the team, Dan would have been gone before the start of that season. There wouldn't have been, you got five games to prove yourself. And how exactly was he going to right the ship when they hadn't won a game? How exactly was he going to right the ship? Here's Jim Mora talking about the Falcons having some pieces to work with.
They've got a great setup there right now. I think they're poised to win. I think they're, you know, sitting at number four. They may stay at number four and make a pick, or they may move back and potentially get the guy they wanted. But I'm excited to see what they do, just kind of like everybody else is excited to see what they do.
Well, as we said, the Falcons control the draft at number four. They are the to quote a Reggie Jacksonism, they are the straw that stirs the drink. So they are the team that is going to dictate about how the draft is going to play out from there. I still hope the Falcons trade down. What does my gut tell me? My gut tells me they pick four. My gut is starting to tell me that they'll pick four. I think the smarter play is to trade down. And I think that, honestly, I think they are going to get an offer that they shouldn't refuse for all of this. I do think that they will get and should get an offer that they shouldn't refuse. But my gut tells me that it's going to be them picking at number four, whatever that pick is. I don't care what you tell me the position is that they pick. I have this feeling that you're going to get a pick at four for them. So, and, you know, we'll continue to keep you updated. We've got a lot of draft night show coverage, obviously, besides a first-round draft special with Mike Connie and Wes and Dave. We'll have a college football game time show like we did last year. We'll have a couple hours of college football game time, kind of preview and talk about some of the prospects and guys that we like and this, that, and the other. I will, coming up here probably the week of the draft, do my annual 7-round mock of the Atlanta Falcons. Now, I know Kuiper did his, you know, trade scenarios where for the first time ever he allowed trades to happen because of the quarterbacks. I have not gotten to the Kuiper level yet. I will pick straight as is. So I will give you what my 7-round Falcons mock, not what I think they will do, not what I expect them to do, what if I'm the GM, what my 7-round mock will be. So we'll probably do that, you know, my annual 7-round mock the week of the NFL draft. We'll get into all of that. So, but look, the Falcons, you know, that as much as intrigue as there is with just that first-round pick, that second-round pick as well has a lot of intrigue to it, because if they do pick at four, you know, if they pick offensive lineman or Kyle Pitts or quarterback at four, man, you got to get some defensive help in this on this roster, man. Any interest? I'll throw this out to Jarvis. Any interest? See the Browns cut today?
Yes.
Browns cut Sheldon Richardson.
Yes.
And you interested at all?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's still got some game left.
You
I
want
mean,
DJ Snott to get some snaps this season?
Who?
DJ Snott. Somebody
check the milk carton for DJ Snott, by the way. I don't know what Sheldon Richardson would cost you, but I wouldn't mind rolling the dice here on Sheldon Richardson. I wouldn't mind, especially if they're talking about going to more of that, you know, 3-4-ish type of defense or what have you like that.
I like him in that role.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind having Sheldon Richardson here. You know, you'd bring him on a one-year show me is what you do. And he had, last couple of years, I think he's had like 7.5 sacks and I don't know, about 14 tackles for loss, something like that. I mean, he's had some production for the Browns. He's not been terrible for the Browns, but they cut him today as, you know, they just signed Jadeveon Clowney, and they've also obviously added Tack McKinley, which is rather
prime
funny.
Time pass rusher, baby.
I'm sure Tack was all excited when he got signed, and then immediately as soon as Clowney was signed, realized, oh, I'm not starting. Oh, and literally, can you imagine what he was thinking? Like, he's like, okay, I can compete for a starting job and send the other. Then they give $10 million to Jadeveon Clowney. Oh, I'm not starting. Oh, oh boy.
Okay. Rotational guy.
Yeah. He found out real quick that, yeah, I guarantee you, he thought that he was going to fight for a starting spot in this, that, and the other. And then a one-year $10 million deal to Jadeveon Clowney put a kibosh on all of that. All right, we get back. It's going to be time for That's Life. There is a very interesting, for lack of a better term, crazy, how about that, viral video of a guy saving his family from a wild animal. Plus our top 10 list, all next. Chuck, we're hanging out in the Key Studios. Sports Radio, Net to the Game, and on the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Back with you on the John Chuckery Show, 9:23 on this Friday evening. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey.com app so you catch us on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game. Hit me up at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. Get their top 10 here in just a minute. Jarvis, did you see this video online that's going around all the social media? This family that got attacked, this wife that got attacked by a wild bobcat. Now,
no, I didn't get a chance to check that out.
Oh, yeah. This is crazy. I'm guessing, I didn't see the location. I'm guessing it's like California or something like that where you run into. Like, you know what a bobcat is, right? Like not a lion, but, you know, like, not like a tiger, but, you know, like a...
pretty ferocious.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's... So, you know, some of those areas out there, you know, they're wild and on the loose and things and such. There's a video, and I guess it's one of those... This guy's, like, got a video camera over top of his driveway. He's getting ready to get in the car and go to work and all that, and he's, you know, saying goodbye and everything. Then all of a sudden, a bobcat shows up and grabs his wife, who's about to get in her car next to his. And the guy literally goes over and starts getting it. He grabs it and he holds it up in the air like it's a cat. Like, you know, like two hands, like you'd hold it up in front of you like this. And just throws it across the yard to get it out of there. But how would you react if you saw a wild animal going after your wife or daughter?
Man. I mean, my first reaction is to protect them or get them off of them. Or if I happen to have something special with me, I will use it.
Yeah. And that's, you know, like, I don't have a concealed carry, But I do carry a machete in my car. I do, honor. Right. I do. I have a...
Chuck, you got a machete in your car, man?
My daughter asks me all the time. She's like, why do you have a machete in your car? I'm like, why wouldn't you? So I do have a machete in the car. You never know when a gangland war may break out, man. You know, and... You got, listen, you never know.
Warriors!
Listen, yeah, exactly. Listen, the zombie apocalypse. I mean, you don't know what may come along. But I do have a machete.
Oh,
but I would be more inclined to go grab that sucker and, you know, there'd be.
Go to work, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I
would freak out.
Yeah,
I would.
Me too.
I would attack the animal. I can tell you. Like, I wouldn't hesitate to attack the animal or whatever. But yeah, it's a crazy video. You can see this bobcat that. I just kind of like came out of nowhere, and all of a sudden, the scary part about something like that is, you know, what if that animal's got rabies or something and bites you or whatever like that? You imagine how awful that whole process would be if you got to go. I've never had a rabies shot, but I've heard people talk about like rabies shots, like one of the worst things you can get. Like that process for getting rabies shots is just awful. So anyway, you can check that out on all the social media platforms. All right, so happy birthday today to, and I know this is going to sound crazy when I say this, he's the greatest college basketball player of all time. There's no disputing that. But the crazy part may be, is he the most underrated basketball player still today? And that's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Today is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's birthday. By the way, it's Martin Lawrence's birthday today as well. Is Martin Lawrence underrated, by the way? Is he underrated?
You don't hear him in the top comedian conversation,
right?
Because like he has so much television success, so people, it almost kind of like, oh yeah, he did do stand up comedy.
Yeah,
but, you know,
but Martin,
was
an underrated show.
Yeah.
Martin is an underrated. Yeah,
amazing show.
Yeah, Martin was a very under. I enjoyed Martin. That was an underrated show, but it's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's birthday today. Who? Yes, he's the greatest college basketball of all time, player of all time. No, if you don't think he's the greatest, then you don't know anything about college basketball. I'll just go ahead and say it. I'll go hot takey on you. They changed the rules for him in college, right? The no dunk rule is because of Lou Alcindor. But anyway, but I still think he's underrated in the NBA. I don't think he gets talked about fast enough as one of the greatest players in the history of the NFL. I mean, obviously LeBron and Michael, you know, and you hear Kobe and guys like that, but I don't think you hear Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's name fast enough with the greatest. But with that, tonight's top 10, our top 10 favorite NBA centers of all time. Top 10 favorite NBA centers of all time. Jarvis, the floor is yours.
All right, so you know I got to put some guys on that I didn't necessarily see play, but like I've heard and seen some old highlights of these guys, so I'm going to go ahead and get those guys out of the way first. Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell, and definitely Kareem. Obviously, happy birthday to you. And the rest of these guys are guys that I saw, and I really enjoy watching these guys play. The next guy is Ben Wallace, man.
Mm-hmm.
You talking about defensive player of the year?
I think it was two-time defensive player. Yeah,
he was two-time.
Two-time defensive player of the year. Like, I think he led the league in rebounding two or three times, too.
Just the enforcer, man. Like, those are guys I kind of miss in the NBA because kind of like everybody's so spread out now. The game's so spread out. You don't have guys really just down low, just defending like that anymore. But, you know, I always enjoy Ben Wallace's game. Not in my house, Dikembe Mutombo. Enjoy him. Of course, when he played for the Hawks and when he went to the play for the 76ers, went to the finals that year, the step over year, Allen Iverson stepping over Tyronn Lue.
Yep.
Alonzo Mourning, man. I love watching Alonzo Mourning play.
You know, Alonzo's another one of those guys that he was a really good college player, but I think he was a better NBA player than he was a college player.
Yeah, man. Those Georgetown centers, man.
Yeah, like, I mean, obviously him and Mutombo were there together, but I think
Matt, what kind of lineup is that, man? I didn't see those guys play, but Dikembe Mutombo and Lonzo play on the same team?
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable, man.
Look, if you know anything about Stanley Roberts was actually a pretty good college basketball player.
Yeah.
They had Stanley Roberts and Shaquille O'Neal together on LSU and Chris Jackson in the backcourt. They had those three guys, and they couldn't win.
Who was way before his time.
Yeah.
His time.
I mean, he was Steph Curry before Steph Curry.
Indeed.
I mean,
Indeed.
And they couldn't win. They couldn't win in college.
I don't know. Who's that indictment on?
I guess, what's his name? Dale Brown was the coach.
Dale Brown, yep. Yeah. Another Georgetown center, Patrick Ewing. That fadeaway, baseline fadeaway, was almost unblockable, unguardable for sure. David Robinson, I think he's kind of gets a little underrated as far
as. I did too.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, he gets the knock because, they didn't win until Tim Duncan came along. Okay, but there were some pretty awful teams that he played. He wasn't the reason that they didn't win. I mean, you know what? I think he had a 70-point game in his career in the NBA.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he put up some monster numbers when he was in his prime.
And my top two centers of all time, Shaq, and my number one guy who I love watching play, Hakeem the Dream.
Yeah, Elijah. I mean, unbelievable. So I've got Kareem. My honorable mention on my list, by the way, of favorites is Bill Laimbeer. He could hit that 16, 18-footer. He could punch you in the face.
What's a mid-range shot?
Yeah, exactly. For a guy who's like, you know, 6'10", 240, by the way, too.
What's that?
So he's my honorable mention. I've got Patrick Ewing on my list as well, obviously. And I was actually a bigger fan of his in college than I was in the NBA because I wasn't really a Knicks fan, but I did enjoy Patrick. Hakeem Olajuwon on my list as well. Shaq on my list as well. I've got David Robinson on my list as well. I've got Alonzo Mourning as well on my list. Kareem, obviously. And then four names that I have that are different than what you have. I've got Anthony Davis on my list, man. I really like Anthony Davis.
I thought about
him,
but it was kind of hard to squeeze him in. So, I feel you.
I picked guys, by the way, that I saw play, like I didn't see Wilt or Russell play, so they're not on my list. But I really like I like Anthony Davis to this day. I have Dwight Howard on my list because.
Okay.
Orlando Magic Dwight Howard.
Oh, yeah, that was, yeah.
Man.
The fact that he took that team, if you go and look at that roster that he took to the Jameer Nelson and Rashard Lewis.
Just
guys. They were just guys.
Just physically, too. Just looking at him physically. Like, it was just, he was such a good player for those years in Orlando. And, you know, again, I know we think more, I think a lot of people, unfortunately, think about him later. And
he's
and
the butt of a lot of jokes.
Yeah. I mean, but, man, those first few years in Orlando, man, he was.
Shoulders probably as bright as you and I standing together.
Yeah. And then my final two names, man, another guy who I think does not get nearly enough love for how great of a player he was. I think he was a two-time MVP in the league. Moses Malone, man. Moses Malone was a machine. Man, if he'd have gone to Maryland, you know, he was supposed to go to Maryland, play for Lefty Giselle at Maryland. He came out of high school into the NBA, but he was supposed to go to Maryland and play with Lefty Giselle. Moses was the dude, man. Took the Rockets to an NBA Finals against Bird and the Celtics. And then, of course, I saw that 76ers team in person take on the Cavaliers with Dr. J and all those guys. I saw them play that year against the Cavaliers. And then my final one is a guy who was a Cavalier, one of my fan favorites, man, growing up, Brad Daugherty, man. I mean, Brad was a guy who was part of that you know, quartet of guys that they brought in, him and Harper and Mark Price and John Hot Rod Williams, and they traded for Larry Nance. That was the Mark West and Kevin Johnson trade for Larry Nance that they brought in. Because they didn't need Kevin Johnson. They had Mark Price. They didn't need Kevin Johnson. So they got rid of him and Mark West for Larry Nance, former slam dunk champion Larry Nance. But I was just such a fan of Brad's. I wasn't big on him in college. The rep was he was kind of soft. But he was so important to the Cavaliers' turnaround and that franchise and the success and those teams that just couldn't get over the hump of Michael out there. So just, a local fan favorite for me. Hit us up on our Twitter page or on our Solomon Buzz Diamond text line with your list as well, or anybody that you saw that is on your list.
The same Brad Daugherty is a
NASCAR
guy commentator.
He's a NASCAR guy now. Mm-hmm. Yep. Played at North Carolina. Played with Michael in Michael's final year. He was on that team with Michael in his junior year. All right. Eric Edholm joined us earlier in the show. We'll get his thoughts about where the Falcons, what they're going to do with this pick, what they should do with this pick, and some other prospect news and notes. We'll hear from him next. Chuck Reed hanging out with you in the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.